BlakeRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler, Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio. Oh.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment.
All right, listen up. Tonight, 8 p.m., you're going to start a riot.
Wrestle Talk Radio, breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling with your host, Tim Stein.
Do I make you horny?
Mace.
Allow myself to introduce myself.
Omega.
Not a lot.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
And unfortunately, my neck does look like a vagina.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
Hey, this is the world's most dangerous man, Ken Shamrock.
I'm Al Snow, former WWE superstar.
This is Eric Bischoff.
Hey, everybody, this is Biff Naked.
Don't stop listening or I will find you.
Begin the unnecessarily slow-moving dipping mechanism.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Politically incorrect.
I'm damn proud of
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. In the age of declining ratings and buy rates, don't worry, when John Cena comes back, everything will be okay again. Shit. Do we have a plan W?
I think it's called R, Plan R. I think it's double R.
Are we really that far down on the list, Rock?
Yeah, double R. Yeah. That's how far down we are. He will be our savior.
Sure.
They hope so.
They hope so.
Doesn't mean he will.
True. So, there are some things to talk about tonight. So, first off, I am the Omega, the be-all, and all of our network. Joining me tonight, we have Mace.
Hi, my name is Mason. I'm an alcoholic. Wait, no, right, wrong meeting.
God, how many times have I heard that joke?
2,074?
Probably.
I don't know. How many times have I been drunk on this show?
2,074? No. Four?
Yeah, something like that.
I'm probably
going to get drunk at the Royal Rumble, by the way.
To be fair, so are the producers of WWE, so don't worry about it.
Hey, then I'll actually understand their thinking.
Also joining us tonight, we have one Nick Diddy.
Howdy.
You know how to make an entrance.
Yes, I do. Very professional, as we do.
We have some New Japan-related news, so we have a Japanese expert on the panel tonight.
Wait, we have a Japanese expert? Wow, our budget must have skyrocketed.
Yeah, Rock. I don't know where you get the money from, but apparently you've got the budget for it.
He's Canadian.
Change TV networks.
And of course, as usual, leading this cavalcade of mischief, we have the one and only Tim Stein.
Unmute the microphone, Tim.
Or we don't.
This is where he said, "Good evening, everybody. Welcome to WrestleTalk Radio Live." Right,
he's finally petrified, people.
Unmute the microphone, Tim.
Plug in the microphone, Tim.
Broken mic. Hang on.
Someone get out the duct tape. Working on it. He's MacGyvering.
All right, well, while we're waiting for him to MacGyver it, all I can say is, Vikings, laces out.
It was with a room full of people, and that's the only thing they ever want to say.
I'm sitting there, okay, you know, obviously referencing the Seahawks-Vikings football game from earlier today. I woke up just in for like the last 2 minutes of that game. I'm watching the score, watching the Vikings get further and further up the field, I'm like, oh shit, if they get within, you know, field goal range, we're fucked. They get within field goal range, 27 yards. Like, this should be easy. Misses it by a mile. All the Seahawks players are thanking God. And I'm like, yay. Because that means I got to wake up again at 5 o'clock. Try and wake up again at 5 o'clock in the morning to watch the next fucking game.
Yeah, how about those Seahawks?
Anyway, change to uplifting topic. Say something uplifting.
Something, something dark side.
I have nothing. Rock, my day was utter dog shit. I don't have much uplift in me right now.
Neither do I. Nick, it's on you. You gotta bring the uplifting part of this conversation. Nick, say something smart, intelligent. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know what's smart and intelligent.
God, we're all doomed. We're all doomed. Why do we bring in this expert? He can't even bring anything smart and intelligent to the conversation. God.
I could bring in smart and intelligent things when I want. I just don't know.
God. Mace, save us. Say something.
Something.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I've got nothing. It's 35 degrees. I'm boiling here. I'd rather be like in front of a fridge or something. But yeah.
All right. He eliminated win fail. So I was going to say, hey, what is your win and your fail? And he eliminated it. So talk New Japan, stuff. Talents are coming.
Well, as most of the internet for the last week has basically exploded that, soon after Wrestle Kingdom 10 last week was news that four major New Japan stars have left the company. We're talking, Nakamura Shinsuke, Doc Gallows, aka Luke Gallows, Carl Anderson, and the big name, AJ Styles. There was also reports stating that Tama Tonga, Bad Luck Fale, and Rocky Romero were going to go, but as news has continued going throughout the week, Rocky Romero and Bad Luck Fale have re-signed two-year contracts with New Japan, so we're still up in the air with Tama Tonga, but at this stage, four stars from New Japan are leaving for WWE.
Which, of course, you know, it seems now the Japanese media knows more about than the Western media, because pretty much the WWE has gone, we're going to sit here and poke you and say that they're coming, but we're not actually going to say anything, like, to confirm, because we want to try and make this a surprise in the age of where nothing is a surprise.
Well, Tokyo Sports, the famous sports newspaper here, came out with the first interview with Shinsuke Nakamura since the news has broken, and he stated that he has done everything that he possibly could during his time here in Japan, and he wants to see new horizons in the States and see how he does in the big company known as WWE.
God.
So there's your confirmation.
Yeah. With AJ Styles, his contract was over before Wrestle Kingdom, actually. By the end of the World Tag League, his contract was over, so he was only to work. He had decided, he cancelled a bunch of dates with Pro Wrestling Revolution as well as other companies, but he said that he was going to do Final Battle and Wrestle Kingdom. And so his contract was over. So it was obvious that with his back injury recently, he was going to go to WWE. The other shock here in the land of the rising sun is that Carl Anderson and Doc Gallows are going across as well. And Doc Gallows, for a lot of the listeners at home, is the once known as Luke Gallows from the Straight Edge Society, but also his more famous role, Fetus.
Fetus. The great pro wrestler, Fetus.
I think that's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
With his great finishing move, the miscarriage.
Oh, no. Did not. No. Bad, Omega. Bad. Bad boy.
I thought it was
funny. Taking I would give Omega a high five on that one.
takes him to the top rope and slams him stomach first into the mat.
Then you just don't put him in any sort of mixed gender matches, right?
Hopefully not.
And Carl Anderson, who has been wrestling here for the last 8 years, has decided to go back stateside and work for WWE. So I guess that's the latest news from it all. The news here is that a lot of people don't really care that AJ Styles, Carl Anderson, and Doc Gallows, most... they're basically the top of the Bullet Club, heading over to WWE, but the big shock is Nakamura leaving, as he was coined the $1 million rookie, as well as he was trained by Antonio Inoki, and basically he is the king of strong styles and being the foundation of that company for the last 10 to 12 years. So for a lot of people, they're very upset about him leaving. What's the panel's thoughts on said news?
I'm cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, I'm the same, but just remember, you'll be able to watch Shinsuke Nakamura when he debuts in NXT for on the WWE Network for only $9.99, now available in Japan.
And Rock called me the whore.
Seriously, that's what they started doing the second, like, they even mentioned the news. I think they mentioned on Raw or something, and then they go, oh yeah, by the way, it's now, the WWE Network is now available in Japan. It's like, oh, now it becomes clear why you wanted him.
That's timing.
Well, they announced that they got the network first in Japan, and then this news broke, so it's sort of like, well, the other problem is that Raw and SmackDown get aired on regular TV here a week, like we're a week behind everybody else, unless you're like me and I get to watch it as it comes along. But a lot of the fans here are a week behind, so for a lot of it, like the network just seems to be a bit, they wasn't buying very well here, so having these four stars come across from New Japan into it is obviously going to have the buy rate go up.
Well, supposedly Nakamura and AJ weren't even signed to NXT.
No, they're looking to go to the main roster directly. And with other news is that WWE just got the rights for Nakamura's entrance music from New Japan. So it's looking like they're spending a lot of money for him, and it means he's not going to go to NXT. He's definitely going up to the main roster.
I really hope that's a good indication of what they want to do with him, because I don't want this to be I don't want this to be another Tajiri. I don't want this to be another Yoshitatsu. Mm. Let's take a really good Japanese wrestler and make a comedic act out of him.
He's been promoted, like, now that WWE has basically got the king and queen of strong style with both Kana, aka Asuka, and now Shinsuke Nakamura going to. It's sort of like, why would you put them as like some comedic heel angle when, or comedic face angle?
It just feels like they don't. Well, Asuka might be the first time I've actually seen a Japanese star that was used correctly.
Well, they gave her a lot of leeway in her character. Like, she basically retained her character that she was doing here in Just Pro Wrestling. And so I'm assuming they're like, well, we just want our kids to be trained with more strong style type of ways. And so having Nakamura there would be a huge help.
So we're forgetting Kenta in all this, are we?
Well, but Kenta is trained in King's Road. He was trained under Misawa, who was trained in All Japan and under the King's Road ideal from the great Baba. So Kenta is technically like a different style of pro wrestling in Japan. Like, and for the listeners at home, like here in Japan, we have the two main factions of pro wrestling in strong style, which is more sort of straightforward shoot wrestling. Versus
beat the ever living shit out of each other.
If you want to ever see a proper strong style match, go watch the Wrestle Kingdom match, Katsuyori Shibata versus Ishii.
I watched Wrestle Kingdom 10, which amazing show, by the way.
Hmm.
But I was watching that strong style match. At one time, I have to turn away and I had to like check something on another screen, and I hear this sickeningly loud crack, and I'm like, oh. Shit, I messaged my buddy Sean. Look, I was looking away. What happened? Did he just crack his head on the turn, on the turn post, or what happened? He said, that was an elbow.
Yeah, so we have Strong Style and King's Road, which is a form of catch wrestling as well that we have here. So it's very, for a lot of, Western fans tuning in for the first time for Wrestle Kingdom and previous New Japan events, like it's a big shock. And with Kenta, or as he's known as Hideo Itami in NXT, like he's trained in King's Road. And so, but I guess the point of it, having both somebody who's trained in Strong Style and somebody who's trained in King's Road in NXT allows the talent there to actually be exposed to other forms of wrestling.
It's important to, I think it's a really valuable asset just because you have so many stars from, especially the Attitude Era, who talk so highly of their time in Japan and how much they learned there of pro wrestling, to have competitors who are very skilled in those different Japanese styles right there in-house.
Yeah, absolutely right. It's like having, like, you do hear, like, Mick Foley, Terry Funk, and a whole bunch of other people from the Attitude Era just go on and on and on about their times here in New Japan or here in NOAH or some in All Japan as well. And they just go on about how they love wrestling here, and they learned so much from the people here. And to have people like Asuka, Hideo Itami, and now Shinsuke Nakamura coming in, it's going to be a huge, huge boost for their developing system over there.
Well, not just the development system. You know, you're putting, as like, for some reason this got coined for, Swagsuke Nakamura. He, like, the amount of matches that guy could have that would be instant top card matches, you know. Hell, you put him up against, like, Seth Rollins, you put him up against Daniel Bryan, you put him up against John Cena. We could have another AJ Styles Nakamura match. There's like this, all of a sudden these four guys alone coming in have got people's minds ablaze of, oh my god, we could have the Bullet Club in WWE. Or, you know, if they want to go through with this idea of the Balor Club, they could do that as well and still have it be an amazing faction. But at the same time, it's like, oh, all these matchups, you know, AJ Styles being going through Kevin Owens, Dolph Ziggler, you know, going through the mid-card division, Nakamura going into the main event, Gallows and Anderson teaming up and going in against, like, the tag team division. This, just, people are just automatically going, holy shit, this is probably one of the best acquisitions in years.
You're right. So on the positive side for WWE, this is a massive acquisition. I mean, AJ Styles, for a lot of American fans, is known for his years throughout working with TNA and down that way. And so having him in there, as well as Nakamura in the singles, like, the amount of, and last year, somewhere around June, July last year, Daniel Bryan tweeted out to Nakamura saying, like, let's have a match. I want to have a match against you. Now that match is possible with Nakamura coming back. Like, and if Daniel Bryan can get cleared, like, you get that dream match. And so, like, for the WWE fans, this is awesome, awesome news. For the fans here, like, losing a large chunk of the Bullet Club, it's a loss, but we can live with it. With Nakamura leaving, it's a big loss.
Hey, you've still got Kenny Omega.
We do. We have wrestling ragdoll Kenny Omega, but he's become so good now since he left DDT, and he's now working in New Japan. Yeah.
He's not beating up children.
He's not beating up children. He's not going into camping grounds and having random wrestling matches in the middle of parks and stuff.
Which I will admit, if you follow Xavier Woods, he did post a quick video of him and Kenny challenging each other to a video game, and they did actually use a clip of him fighting a little girl.
Yeah, I saw that. That was a bit weird. But again, like, do you think, so for the panel, I guess, is that, do you think that all four will end up on the main roster straight away, or who will go to the main roster, who will go to NXT?
It's actually interesting because, like, with Doc Gallows there, he's already been on the main roster twice. You're not dealing with someone who needs to be trained up in the WWE style. He's been there.
But then you also gotta look at the fact that, you know, you've had guys like Rhino come in who's been a main roster guy and has ended up in NXT. I'd say, if anything, you might, unless they debut all four of them together as the Bullet Club or the Balor Club, maybe Gallows and Anderson will spend some time in NXT. Styles and Nakamura straight to the main roster.
Tim?
Yes?
Your thoughts?
Well, the entire thing, it's a huge acquisition for WWE, definitely. Sure, it's going to help their network buy rates in Japan, picking up these guys. Of course, the very first thing that pops into my mind when I heard about this is, which of these guys show up as entrants in the Royal Rumble?
I think the obvious is that AJ Styles will definitely show up in the Royal Rumble. Well, Nakamura has also stated, and I forgot to mention before, is that he's going to fulfill the rest of the month in here in Japan until the end of Fantastica Mania, the crossover show with New Japan and CMLL, the Mexican promotion, because he still is the current holder of the Intercontinental title here in Japan. So yeah. He has to drop it somehow. So sometime
tell that to Del Rio.
Yeah.
Well, they just vacated the title for AAA, but I think here in Japan they wouldn't do such a thing. Like, they haven't vacated the title since Inoki was still wrestling, so pre-98. So there hasn't been a title vacated since 98, so I don't think he'll drop the title to someone, and my money is Kenny Omega will pick it up.
Well, that seems to be the way that they went after New Year's Dash, which was the event that was... that went after Wrestle Kingdom, in which was, I believe, he pinned Nakamura.
That's right, he did. In a tag match, he pinned Nakamura. So, obviously, they're going to build up a singles match for during either CMLL or during the Road to New Beginning, which is the next big pay-per-view after Wrestle Kingdom here, is that Kenny will go up against Nakamura and Nakamura will drop the belt. So my money is that AJ, Karl Anderson and Doc Gallows will debut during the Royal Rumble or during this month, whilst Nakamura we won't see till maybe post-Mania.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, no disrespect to Nakamura or anyone that was working New Year's Dash. To be honest, the only thing, like, I watched that show, and all I can remember from the entire show is Fujiwara beating the crap out of Cheeseburger, even though he was his own teammate in the 10-man tag at the beginning of the show.
It was very funny.
I was surprised Fujiwara was still alive. Was literally a walking skeleton, but he could kick the ass of 95% of the guys in the ring.
A lot of the people there have a lot of respect for him. For listeners at home, Fujiwara is the creator of one of the most famous arm bars that you will ever see in professional wrestling, the Fujiwara arm bar. And
I believe number 4 on Chris Jericho's list.
Yeah.
Is it number 4? That'd be pretty awesome. Ranks it that high. So big news from here. And also with recent tweet from Hideo Itami Kenta saying that he's now, with this news coming out, like, he's dying to come back to work. Like, and could you imagine a match between two of the best wrestlers for the last 10 years from Japan, having Kenta versus Nakamura?
Look, there's plenty of talent in NXT for those guys to go up against as they come up. There's plenty of... If they're not injured, there's plenty of talents on the main roster that could actually put on some good matches, but let's face it, the ones that could put on good matches are actually all injured right now, which is really scary.
What about the rumor that Tama Tonga might be jumping ship?
Well, again, New Japan works on a year-to-year contract basis, so every January prior to Wrestle Kingdom, they have all the contracts up, unless they sign 2 or 3 year contracts with New Japan. Every year they come up for whether pro wrestlers here want to renew or not. And so for people like Nakamura, AJ Styles, Doc Gallows, and Karl Anderson, they all decided to go. Tama Tonga is still up in the air whether he will go over to WWE, which I think would be a great thing for him, because here he's just not getting a lot of heat. He's always in tag matches. He's not really getting any singles push, and I think he could go across to NXT and actually work very well over there. The other news being with Bad Luck Fale, I think yesterday put up on Facebook, on his Facebook, saying that he's going to stay here, and he signed a 2-year contract with New Japan. And the other news was Rocky Romero, part of Roppongi Vice, tag team here in the junior heavyweight division, was rumored to be heading across and to become a trainer at NXT. But he's decided that staying here for another 2 years because he wants to continue to wrestle.
For those wondering, Tama Tonga is actually the son, I believe, of Haku.
That's right. And Haku was at this year's, Haku is officially a member of the Bullet Club as well, which is crazy.
I go let the old man get a pop every now and again.
He got a massive pop at Wrestle Kingdom.
But yeah, so that's pretty much all we know about the New Japan situation at the moment. It's going to be interesting to see what develops because WWE really stoked the fires by picking up the story on WWE.com, and even Finn Balor putting up a photo of him outside the developmental center going, looking at his watch going, they should be here by now.
Well, there was also, in that photo, he's also wearing a Bullet Club t-shirt. Like, he's not wearing a Balor Club t-shirt, he's wearing a Bullet Club t-shirt, which gives all light to the idea of, like, Bullet Club is invading WWE, which technically it is, but I mean,
increase how many NWO references we have with the Bullet Club.
at least you didn't get the Young Bucks. The Young Bucks signed a 2-year contract with Ring of Honor, so they're not coming to WWE anytime soon.
Thank God for that.
Otherwise, we're going to have a super kick party every day.
No, they can stay in Ring of Honor where they can super kick themselves down to hell where they belong.
Oh, come on. You've got a lot of bang for your buck.
No, I don't. but they WWE, like, we can so far has not put in for a trademark on the Bullet Club or even tried to acquire the rights from New Japan. Recently, they did update the trademark for the Balor Club, so it seems they might be sticking with that gimmick if the guys come in.
I think it'd be the smart move, but maybe they're doing it sort of as like a pseudo faction. Like here in Japan, like we have multiple factions in pro wrestling, and with the Bullet Club, like, you've got Bullet Club in CMLL, which is like the, like a faction upon itself, which is, it's still Bullet Club, but it's sort of like, it's in CMLL. So maybe the Balor Club is.
So like New Japan, NWO Japan back in the 90s.
That's right. Yeah. So it would be like that. So NWO Japan, but except this time it's the other way around where it's not America coming to Japan. It's Japan is coming to America.
Oh, well, it's all good. To be honest, well, I hope these guys get out there and get out there soon.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing all these guys show up, even if we only see them at the Rumble and then don't see them for another month or two while they learn the WWE style, which seems to be the case with a lot of people that come in. One guy that's really, really hyped and excited for all of these signings happens to be somebody who's on the shelf and hasn't been cleared. Talking, of course, about Daniel Bryan. And I don't know if he tweeted this or if he said it on Instagram or Tumblr or whatever, but he put out there that he wishes WWE would hurry up and clear him. Because let's face it, him versus Shinsuke Nakamura, that would be a dream match, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
I mean, but that's the one he was tweeting earlier last year. He was talking, he directly tweeted Nakamura going, oh, let's have a match. And so, yeah. I mean, he's now dying. Like, Daniel Bryan is like, he's even recently put out tweets of like, when will the WWE doctors clear me to wrestle again? Like, I'm perfectly fine right now. Like it's been how many months since, when did he get taken off TV?
Oh, when was that? May? June?
May. I think
April was, or May.
Yeah, soon after WrestleMania last year. So it's nearly been a year since Daniel Bryan was on TV. So they should clear him by now.
For some reason, they're very hesitant to do so. And you can, it's understandable. I mean, first time around, he had such bad nerve damage in his neck that he couldn't hold on. Like, I saw a snippet of Total Divas. He couldn't hold on to his fork at one point. You know, how much of that was just put on for the TV show, I don't know. But, case being made, the guy's injury prone. How close is he to becoming paralyzed if he takes one more wrong hit? You know, apparently he got taken off of TV and put on the shelf back almost a year ago because of a concussion. Which, you know, totally unrelated. At least that's what the initial reports were.
And supposedly everyone has cleared him except WWE's own doctors.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of weird when you have every other doctor saying you're fine and then WWE's saying, no, you're completely unable to go out there.
So basically the WWE doctor doesn't think it's best for business.
I'm almost, like, I don't want to get conspiracy theory, but it almost sounds that way, doesn't it?
Just about, yeah. being a bit of a smart ass, but still at the same time. Are they just running scared, or are they just like, okay, we're done with you, Daniel. That's enough.
I think he's such a popular figure. They don't want to actually like go through all the negative publicity there would be if they cleared him to wrestle again and something else happened to him that was even worse this time.
Yeah.
On the other hand, right now, they might not have a choice.
But what could be worse for him? What, he walks out for his entrance and his head explodes? What?
His spine just suddenly...
Yes!
Kaboom.
Every disc in his spine explodes and his head pops off like a Rock'em Sock'em Robot.
Sounds like a really bad Quentin Tarantino movie ending. Oh, shit. I don't know. I want to see the match between him and Nakamura, but at this point in time, I'm seriously thinking that we're never going to see Daniel Bryan in a WWE ring again.
Do you think it's actually storyline, that the reason why they've taken him off for a year is just actual storyline, or is it just Triple H being Triple H from 2001 to 2005, where he's burying everybody?
It's got nothing to do with burying it. It's literally... We're sitting here looking over our insurance paperwork to make sure that we're not liable if this guy's head just happens to fall off his body next time he takes a bump.
Yeah, pretty much. And don't get me started on what you just brought up, Triple H burying people, Nick, because you and I could go around and around for hours and you would not win any points with me in that argument.
I didn't plan to.
So, yeah, but, I don't know. Like I said, the only thing I've got left to say about this is I'm looking forward to seeing him on the roster, and I'm pretty sure that we're going to have to wait until the Rumble, which is at the end of the month.
As if that thing needs any more reason to become more interesting.
Yeah. So, and we'll be talking about the Rumble, Royal Rumble, coming up after our first time out of the evening. But Nick, if you want to stick around with us and just keep going on the show, or if you want to bugger off and just sit back, relax, and listen, that's up to you. What would you like to do?
I'll hang about, make some noise here.
Sounds good. I take it that you're playing music because you're taking us to a break right now, Mr. Producer. That being the case, I'll send us out. Everybody listening to WTR Sunday Night once again, thank you very much to PW Mania. Check them out for all of your wrestling-related news and views, www.pwmania.com. Don't go anywhere. A whole bunch more news. John Cena, Sasha Banks, and Chris Jericho on the other side of this. Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said, Suplex City, bitch.
From the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moment.
You will get your rematch. Put that man down. Your actions have consequences. And you know what? You're out of here. You're suspended. You know what? You're suspended indefinitely. Get out of my building now. Now get out.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing. And I'm not going to sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axelmania is running wild in Los Angeles. Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axelmania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply dabomb.com.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number two.
That's currently number seven. It was number two at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a good thing or something.
Techno gangbang. Maybe the world needs to end. End of the world Gangnam style.
Weird shit becomes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I was like, what is this, like a fucking martial art or this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, work schedule and whatnot. But,
watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck? Oh, I thought the people are going to be showing up at the party. Oh, you Gundam style over here.
That's the horse you have, that's the horse
you have. Gundam style. Gundam
style. Oh, not the pelvic thrust. Is that Mr. Sulu in the sky? Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I know.
Got 800 million. Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah.
This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I got to... You gotta play something else, Rock. I'm gonna go wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Hey,
Margarita. Oh, I hate that song. Rock, I think you just replaced the song in my head with the worst song. Now I'm watching some Hispanic dude do it in my head. Oh, now it's being cross-referenced with the Asian dude. Oh, they're having a mess. Macarena.
Macarena style.
Oh. Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless, I was made in America.
This is Matt Hardy, version 1, and you're listening to WTR Sunday Night, along with the biggest MFers on the planet. And they're setting up and learning from the sensei of Matador. So make sure to tune in each and every week and catch Russell Talk Radio. And in closing, I am the Wonder! Oh.
And welcome back to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Also streaming live on TuneIn, the absolutely 100% free app for your mobile device. Just download the TuneIn app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network, and you can check us out when you're on the go. I discovered last night during CB Radio that the TuneIn app is actually broadcasting quicker than the Twitch player that we have on the website. That's pretty interesting as far as, you know, I don't know. I'm concerned. I found it interesting anyway. Damn it.
Twitch has always had an automatic 10 to 30 second delay.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I just thought that was kind of cool that it was coming through faster on TuneIn. So, download the TuneIn app. You can listen to WTR Sunday night when you're out and about busy doing shit. You can also catch The Rack, the multi-time, multi-award-winning The Rack radio show right here on Wild Talk Radio Network Thursday nights. And, of course, CB Radio, where apparently last night the secret phrase for the night was Kane's penis. I don't know. Don't ask me. They brought it up, or Subway brought it up, or something like
Wade
that.
Wade brought up Kane's penis?
Yeah, Wade brought up Kane's penis. He talked a lot about penises last night. He wanted to know if Canadians were circumcised. I'm just questioning his sexuality because he seemed to be focused on the male genitalia last night. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. You know, if you're that way, then, you know, more power to you, whatever. Anyway, speaking about Kane's penis, John Cena is again gone from WWE with another injury. This time it's a torn rotator cuff, guys.
He's injury prone. Shelve him.
Yet they don't suspend him like they do Daniel Bryan.
Bias against goats.
Maybe the WWE should bring back Papa Shango to extradite these demons that exist inside WWE.
Yeah, there's something in the water, man.
I don't know. Papa Shango, he'd be having to hop around when he's doing his little voodoo dance, wouldn't he?
Oh, and we don't want to see that man popping around anymore.
This rate you get injured doing that hopping.
Too much what with that hopping?
Don't worry.
I mean, I swear to God, at this point, the shoulder injuries have gone around so much, I'm wondering who in the WWE is taking up shot put.
Everybody with a shoulder injury?
It's just really bizarre. Like, aside from just, like, there are so many injuries in WWE right now.
Yeah.
But you had Sami Zayn out with a shoulder.
Yeah.
Okay? You've got Hideo Itami almost come back from his shoulder. Cesaro's out with shoulder. Orton's out with shoulder. Cena's out with shoulder.
Yep.
Alex Riley was shoulder, too. He just came back.
Of course, Randy Orton, that's a different story. He buggered up his shoulder taking the garbage out.
Well, it doesn't matter how it happened. We don't even know how Cena's shoulder got whacked out.
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out. I could only speculate that it was his return match with Alberto Del Rio.
Well, that battery injured.
That's the other ring, too. Who knows?
Yeah, he might have, honestly, he might have heard it on that show he did for Fox.
Well,
like, for all we know.
Maybe he was trying to teach Nikki a few new moves where she wouldn't have to do the rack attack anymore because it's paralyzing her slowly but surely. And screwed himself up.
Gee, you drop another human being straight down on your neck and it turns out it hurts.
Aw. It's pretty bad. Nothing to laugh at, but I still laugh. Shame on me.
I believe that the interesting and weird fact that came out of all this is if you look at all the winners of last year's WrestleMania,
yep,
most of them are injured.
All of them. All of them are out.
All of them, was it?
Yeah. Because he had Cesaro and Tyson as the tag champs, both out right now. Cena, U.S. champ, out. Seth Rollins, world champ, out.
Out.
Got Daniel Bryan, Intercontinental, out.
Yeah, definitely. 2015 was a very, very bad year for injuries. In the ring.
Good year for Doc Youngblood.
There you go. Yeah. There's yet even another injury, this time hitting the Divas division. Reportedly. This one is more speculation than reality. But the huge speculation is, of course, Sasha Banks is been taken off TV because she's got an unknown, undisclosed injury. That, according to her Instagram account, it's not one of these reports again. Meaning, of course, you know.
I've been off TV for a couple of weeks. Everybody thinks I'm injured, but I'm really not.
Yeah, no, this just screams of, well, I haven't seen her, so obviously she's injured.
Yeah, it's like, you know, okay, Barrett went missing for a couple of weeks. Yeah. So, you know, everybody said, oh, he's injured. And he's like, yeah, I am, but that still doesn't stop me from getting on TV.
Yeah. And, well, at this point, like, if that's the logic you're going to go with, then Sandow must be in traction right now.
The life of a stunt double. You see, that's the thing. The Miz hasn't really had much of a career, so Sandow hasn't had anything to copy recently.
Well, he's doing a fine job copying him, doing absolutely nothing.
Very true, very true.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Hopefully,
so many injuries right now, though. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, hopefully 2016 sees a lot fewer injuries in and out of the ring. Randy Orton recently stated that he's not going to be undergoing neck surgery.
Yeah, he's
going
to go the long way round, so his neck will actually be healthier in the long run. But all this really has done is expose the lack of roster depth right now. So you look at the main event scene, and you literally are left with Roman Reigns and Sheamus.
That's frightening.
Midcard's faring a lot better, though.
Well, it doesn't show roster depth. It shows roster neglect.
Yeah, that's another way to put it.
Because we know they have talent. We know they have people. They just don't have anyone who's built to take the place of the top guys.
So do we put some sort of, like, I don't know, plan Brock into effect and throw some more money his way?
You can only go so far with that. Like, right now, your WrestleMania main event is probably going to be Brock and Reigns. Just because that's all they got.
You don't think they would do like an Austin versus McMahon angle with Roman Reigns and have Roman Reigns versus McMahon?
Not McMahon,
no. That's essentially what they're doing right now, isn't it?
Yeah, they're essentially rehashing the Austin McMahon angle from the Attitude Era, just with bland Mr. Vanilla Roman Reigns.
Bland vanilla Roman Reigns and bland vanilla Sheamus.
What are the odds that we will actually get Roman Reigns versus Triple H at Mania?
Too high.
Yeah, they don't really have many options right now, period.
It's going to be, as some people have put online, is basically Roman Reigns will beat out 28 people in the Rumble, 29th man to come out, Triple H kicks him out, gets the world title, and then they go to Mania for Triple H versus Roman Reigns for the title.
And that idea just kills any give a shit I had for WrestleMania. Awesome.
Well, yeah, they kind of sort of, I think, ruined the Royal Rumble for me, personally speaking. It was announced last Monday on Raw that Roman Reigns will be defending his title in the actual Royal Rumble match itself. The Royal Rumble, traditionally my favorite pay-per-view of the year. That's not called WrestleMania. But if he's defending his title in the over-the-top 30-man battle royal, it's a case of, at least for me, there's no incentive here for me to watch it.
I hate this.
Seriously.
Like, I absolutely hate this decision. It's another decision made to get Roman Reigns looking good and get him over by having him basically beat the entire roster. But it also robs them of one of the few things they have to actually make a viable competitor for him in time for Mania. The Rumble is it. The Rumble is supposed to be what makes and breaks future champions. Yeah, I don't know. This was supposed, like, the Rumble was the one emergency exit they had here, and they completely locked the door.
Well, there's still reason to watch the Rumble. I mean, like, as stating before, with the New Japan talent coming across, like, there's a likely chance AJ Styles will come in, and it's like, oh, AJ Styles back in WWE.
There's going to be surprises, of course. Like, there's going to be, you know, legends who come back, and there's going to be random people showing up. But it takes so much suspense out of it. You know, the fun of the Rumble is there's 30 guys in there, and technically, almost any of them do have some kind of chance. It now, just depends on...
Sorry, I was just going to ask, how many years has the Royal Rumble been a pay-per-view? Like, for how long have we had the Royal Rumble pay-per-view?
I believe this is actually the 30th. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
In 30 years, the WWE World Heavyweight title, as it is known currently, is only ever, up until now, has only ever been up for grabs once.
Royal Rumble 92, when Ric Flair got the title, winning the Royal... It was the time he was number one in the Rumble and he won the title.
Now,
he was number three.
Yeah, here's the huge difference between the two of them right now. back then, the title was vacant. This time, it's an actual title defense. Now, any other time of the year, if they want to hold a battle royal for the WWE title, I wouldn't have a problem with that. It's just the fact that it's the actual Royal Rumble. This is what's pissing me off.
Well, I'm probably the only one who actually likes this idea of putting the belt up.
And like, to tell you the truth,
like,
Mace,
sure, like, sure, it's yeah. one of those things of, hey, let's make Roman look strong.
Eh.
Okay, that's, you know, he walks out with the belt. Okay, you cement him as a champion, and then you start, you're shoveling a champion chip contender coming into to WrestleMania, or you have somebody else take the belt off Roman, like, you know, Triple H or something, then, you know, once again we have Roman chasing going into WrestleMania. Look, we're in a no-win situation with it. I'd rather there be a bit more excitement of, hey, there's 30 people in this. Any one of them can walk out with the belt. And you know what the funny thing is about a Rumble? Sometimes people fuck up. All it's going to take is somebody to go, oops, pushed Roman too far. Oh, shit, he's outside the ring.
I'm sorry, Vince. I think I got the rope sweaty.
Yeah, exactly.
he just slipped as my foot hit him in the head.
Mark Henry was leaning on the rope so much that, you know, the whole ring just went over sideways.
Why does it have to be Mark Henry?
Well,
it's either him or Big Show. Either way, it's a big sweaty guy leaning on the ropes.
Oh, speaking about Big Show, was it on SmackDown that he finally squared off against the Wyatt family?
Next question.
Okay, so the answer from you is I have no fucking clue. Anyway, finally, in the ring, face-to-face with Braun Strowman. And you know Braun's a big guy, but you don't realize how big, at least I didn't realize just how big he was until he was standing face-to-face with Big Show. And I got a funny feeling we're going to see Big Show face turn number 73654 or whatever it is up to now.
Yeah, no, he'll turn heel again next week. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah. But just with that thing, I want to see these two and go up against each other and see how bad the match would be.
Actually, seeing a photo online of it, like, they're practically the same height, except one's less fat than the other, and one has a bigger beard than the other, and one has more hair. They basically are the same.
They're completely the same, except for all these differences that they both have.
I mean, they're both jobbers.
That was a very apropos description, Mace. Yeah, except for all of their differences are exactly the same.
Technically true of that. Everything.
Everybody. So, yeah. But, yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there because you brought up Big Show and it made me remember that. And I'd completely forgotten about it until you mentioned Big Show. But, yeah, I don't want it as a pay-per-view event. I'd like to see it on Raw or SmackDown. But, yeah. Getting back to the Royal Rumble match, Mace, I thought you'd be the first person who would give – not a single fuck about this.
Well, as I said, we're screwed either way. Mm-hmm. Either you have Roman retains, or Roman loses, and it's going to be to somebody absolutely stupid, and then we go spend the next couple of months watching Roman once again chase the belt. Mm-hmm. You know, once again, the underdog story being played for a guy that doesn't need it.
Yeah.
You know, if they want Roman Reigns to look dominant, or, you know, to look strong as they seem to want to try and book him, he should be going in at number one and just super punching every motherfucker that gets in the ring.
As they hop into the ring, just super punching before they can even get in.
Let them get in, but super punch them so hard that they, you know, a few of them will fly over the top rope.
Yeah.
You know, some of the bigger guys, yeah, it might take a couple of guys to put them over. You know, just this should be the point where Roman turns into the new Superman and just starts taking out people right, left, everywhere else, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I still enjoy the Royal Rumble every year. You know, no matter what's on the line, how many people they want to put in or whatever. And this year, yeah, the belt being up on the line, it's different. You know, it's something we haven't seen since 92, and if there's something that company really needs right now is something different. You know, who knows, this could be See, in the back of my head, I'm still on the mindset of, hey, we could have Zack Ryder as World Heavyweight Champion if someone fucks it up royally. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what's getting me through this, is the idea, especially if, you know, Nakamura or AJ Styles comes in, or, you know, one of the random return guys comes back or something. You know, Daniel Bryan could come back, and next thing you know, he's got the belt. And we got Roman Reigns versus Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania.
I wouldn't be too upset with that. I'll be the first one to say.
Yeah, people, I doubt you'd find many people who'd be upset by that, to be honest. You know, there's still, adding the belt in now gives it some actual real unpredictability.
Mm-hmm.
Because WWE, with their roster now depleted of like their main event stars and everything, they're going to get desperate. They're going to be desperate for something to pop a rating. They're going to be desperate for something to get some buy rates coming in, coming off some of the worst ratings and buy rates that they've had all year. They need something.
Speaking about popping the ratings, tomorrow night we are expecting to see Brock Lesnar and his advocate, Mr. Paul Heyman. And I, for one, am very much looking forward to this. But do you guys think that there is an excellent chance that they're showing up tomorrow to announce Brock's entry into the Royal Rumble?
I hope so.
Me too.
I don't think Brock is. I think Brock's too big for the Rumble. Like he's already gonna have a main event spot, regardless of whether he's in the Rumble or not. So the Rumble's too small for him.
No way, Nick. I mean, look at this way. Mace even brought it up. They're hurting right now because of all of the injuries and the low ratings and stuff like that. Could you imagine Brock Lesnar enters the Royal Rumble and he's the one who actually wins the belt in the Rumble match, setting up that actual WWE main event at WrestleMania between Lesnar and...
Which could be a repeat of last year of Brock versus Roman. And this is the thing with that. Yeah. Brock versus Roman last year was a lot better than we actually thought it would be. We thought it looked like the drizzling shits on paper. They put on a real fucking good main event barn burner.
They did. And this time around, there is no Money in the Bank cash in to interfere.
Exactly. No Money in the Bank, no Seth Rollins to come in and interfere. This time we will actually see a winner. Because that was one of the things that if I remember correctly, pissed a lot of us off, was that we started getting into the match. And then we had the little screw job ending. Of course, we were pissed off at that, as we rightly should have been. Initially,
but then after our initial anger over the fact that a good match got interrupted, we accepted Seth and thought, you know what? Not bad booking. Pissed us off. Got us involved.
But we all question, how were they going to finish that match?
Yeah.
And now, if Brock comes in, it's the Royal Rumble, wins the belt, and we get, you know, Brock Reigns 2 at WrestleMania, we have a chance of seeing who could be a victor in that match. And we now know that these guys can put on a good match together.
And now that I brought it up and we've just scratched the surface of it, it makes me think, you know, this is probably one of the smartest moves WWE could do right now to get themselves out of this jam that they've wound up in because of injury, and I'm sorry to say it. Well, no, I'm not sorry to say it. It's the truth. Bad booking.
Plan Brock is always exciting.
Plan Brock. I like that. You got three plans. Plan A, Plan B, and Plan Brock. But, yeah, I just wanted to bring that up and throw that out there. That would be quite the creative direction, don't you think, guys, everybody?
But wouldn't you think that'd be going against an actual idea of trying to bring up somebody? Like, wouldn't Roman Reigns winning the Rumble itself without Brock Lesnar, and then Brock comes back before Fastlane and goes, you and me, one more time, no interferences, we go again at WrestleMania. Like, isn't the idea of the Rumble too facey? But you could also, like, the Rumble is, as you said before, is a way to bring up the champions of the future. Is like having a new guy come through and actually win the Rumble is a way to promote new blood to come through. So why would you have Brock Lesnar, a guy who's been a professional wrestler since 2000, 2001, go into the Rumble? Yeah,
you're wrong. You got the wrong year. Class of 2002.
2-on-2. But like, why would you have him, who's been who's been a professional wrestler for 14 years already, go into the Rumble and win it again? Like, he's not exactly fresh blood.
Because that's WWE. Brock Lesnar. You know what? You do it because he saw an opportunity to regain that championship that he never lost. You know, and why does Brock do it? Because he can.
And there's a reason why I refer to it as Plan Brock. Look at the last times they've had to institute this Plan Brock. Ratings go up, buy rates go up. Brock Lesnar is a draw. And that's what they need right now. They need another draw to go up against Roman Reigns. And Brock Lesnar is the perfect guy to use going into WrestleMania season.
And the other thing, Nick, before you jump in there, I just want to interject. Stop thinking in New Japan Pro Wrestling and in this scenario, think WWE creative and WWE booking. Throw logic out the window a little bit.
Yeah, gotta throw logic out.
No respect, no honors or anything like that.
I gotta throw that away. I've like gotten too used to like get Orange out of booking here and like the guys booking here, and like every time I watch WWE it's sort of like what do now. you're right, he's probably is the perfect opponent at this stage, but like how would they book it is always the interesting question.
Well, the question is, what part of the Rumble, like what number do you guys foresee Roman actually, not what we're thinking he should start at number one and just plow through everybody and look like the monster we've been talking about for the whole year, but what actual number do you figure Roman Reigns will wind up with?
Somewhere between 15 and 25.
I'll say between 3 and 7.
I'd say somewhere around 13.
9.
I'm going to say somewhere between 10 and 15. Now, that being said, Brock shows up tomorrow with Paul Heyman, and boom, he's announced as an entrant into the Royal Rumble. What number does Brock come in at?
4. And he eliminates 14 people.
Who?
30th. Surprise entrant, not announced. And yeah, he goes in there and just immediately throws 8 other guys out of that match.
Well, the problem with that is I just put the stipulation forward that they're announcing tomorrow night that he's entering. So you can't do the surprise thing if they announce it tomorrow. In this little scenario only, Omega.
Well, geez, in that scenario, it should still be the late 20s. Like, it should be a point where you've gotten rid of most of the people you know have no chance of winning, and still at a point where your match is still pretty well full up. And then as soon as that ring is mostly cleared and it's just like Brock standing there with bodies lying around outside, bodies lying around inside, you know, 3-2-1, and Curtis Axel comes out the ramp, looks at the condition of the ring, turns around, goes back through the curtain.
You really want to see Axel do something, don't you?
Yes!
My money in this situation is that Brock comes out first as the first contender, and he just plows through everybody.
They're not. As expensive as Brock is, I don't think they're going to have him work the entire Rumble match.
Oh, no. Like, for me, I see Roman coming out between 10th and 20th, somewhere in there. But for Brock Lesnar, somewhere between 15th and 25th.
I say 22nd.
And the two of them don't touch each other until those two are the last two left.
So you say they're going to have a wrestle, like a Royal Rumble, prior to WrestleMania 17, the Rock Austin moment in the Royal Rumble, where they all go, like everybody gets knocked out of the ring, and then it's just Rock and Austin in the ring. So you're gonna say it's like a Roman Reigns and Austin moment? Oh, not Roman Reigns, Austin. Roman Reigns and Brock moment.
Yeah, something kind
of. I'm still sticking with Brock. Brock comes out. Brock takes out 13 people. Roman's going to be the 14th. That way he takes the record off Roman just like he takes the belt. It's like in one night I strip you of everything that meant something in the record books. Sucks shit.
They're not going to take the record off of Roman Reigns. Sorry.
Yeah, the thing about that record is there's only so much legs that has, because you get to the point where the number just becomes unbelievable. Like, this is one of those records with a very finite number to it. Like, at some point, you know, assuming WWE is around that long and the Rumble is around that long, the record is going to be 28, probably held by John Cena Jr. at this point.
He doesn't want to have kids.
Watch Roman Reigns and
WWE
Brock Lesnar.
Will forcibly clone him at this point.
I mean, it's a big sticking point on Total Divas. He does not want the kids.
Watch, no, I'm sorry. We need to, John, we need to draw blood for a random drug test. You don't talk to any German geneticists at any point, do you? Okay, just making sure.
Reigns and Lesnar team up to eliminate Big Show.
No, the bigger feat of one of them does it on their own.
Santino Marella returns and eliminates the Big Show by himself. As well as himself at the same time.
At the same time. Big Show picks up Santino, goes to throw him over. Santino somehow winds up piggybacking Big Show, falling backwards, taking them both out.
No, no, you could do it again. You do the both men, Big Show's on the ropes. Santino goes for the clothesline that everybody expects Big Show to no-sell. And somebody else, like, behind Big Show pulls the ropes down just enough that Santino and Big Show both go over at the same time.
That scenario only works if they actually cleared Santino.
You could make something, you could almost make a one-upsmanship contest out of it too. You put, Roman and Brock on opposite sides of the ring fighting off the last guys. You see Roman, like, double clothesline, like, two of the Wyatts out. Then he just turns and looks at Brock. Brock looks back. Brock turns around, immediately clotheslines Big Show over by himself. You know, anything you can do, I can do better.
That would be kind of fun, actually, to watch them competing against each other that way.
Yeah, you remember Brothers of Destruction versus Kai and Tai?
Because everyone remembers that.
It's where he's trying to teach his brother how to do the last ride.
Oh, okay.
And they're just using these guys as test dummies. That's kind of what this should be.
Right.
That would be,
so,
yeah.
so you get a couple of small guys in the Rumble this year, and it's like Roman picks one up, throws him over the top rope, lands him on the outside. Brock sort of looks at him, goes, picks up the other small guy, sends him into the third row.
Well, yeah, like Roman clotheslines one over, so Brock, like, one arm tosses one over, then Roman, like, two arm just deadlifts and throws them over the top, and then Brock suplexes someone over the rope.
And going back and forth that way, Roman eliminates Big E, so Brock eliminates Xavier and Kofi at the same time, like picking them both up and throwing them over.
Yeah, one eliminates Mark Henry by himself, the other eliminates Big Show by himself.
Yeah.
And yet somehow Kofi Kingston still survives by, I don't know, riding his own face around the arena.
Well, at this point, they've launched so many bodies onto the floor. Kofi just lands on a pile of humanity and never touches the ground.
And doesn't touch the ground. He lands on somebody's back, or even if he lands on his ass, as long as his feet are not on the mat, he winds up standing up on some of the guys lying down to get back up to the apron.
See, that's the other thing, like, That's probably one of the only ways that they haven't had Kofi survive the Rumble at this point.
That's the
other thing that you got to try and work out a prediction for, is how does Kofi Kingston survive this year?
Last year, didn't he do the handstand, walking on his hands? Wasn't that last year?
No, I know what last year's was.
What was last year's?
The Rosebuds.
Oh yeah, Adam Rose.
No, crowd surf on the Rosebuds.
Yeah, because Adam Rose was about to do his platform, and Kofi got tossed over, and he landed in the same spot. So Adam Rose is left on the apron, and Kofi's being dragged around by the Rosebuds.
So it was 2 years ago. He did the walking on his hands.
No, I don't think it was 2 years ago.
No, two years ago he was hopping on a chair.
You sure? I thought that was the barrier jump.
That was 3 years ago was the barrier jump.
No, Rusev year, when Rusev debuted, was the barrier jump, because that was 2014. Year before that, I think, was either the chair or the handstand.
Because I remember the chair came out. The chair was more recent. Like, the handstand was, like, one of the first things he did.
Actually, the chair was Yeah, maybe in 2012, I think.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure JBL was
announcing
at the time.
One of the chat room people is saying that the chair was 3 years ago in Arizona.
That would be 2013 then, yeah.
Okay, that sounds about right.
I got to go through some of these rumbles again just sort of as a recap of what goes on every year with these things.
I've watched a couple already. It's like, oh, yeah. Thank you, WWE Network. I can go back and watch some of these things.
Yeah, I went back and watched the 92 Rumble this morning before the show. Mind you, I fell asleep during it.
Oh, shame on you.
To be honest, besides the whole thing of the title being up for grab, and until it gets down to like the last few people, that Rumble was boring as batshit. With the exception of... what do you call it? Was he the Barbarian or the Berserker? Where he came out holding his hand. Huss! 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 Huss!
I believe it's the Berserker. But also, I think the only other part of that pay-per-view that's any good is Ric Flair's post-match promo. It's glorious.
Well, the Royal Rumble is what is it, 3 weeks away? 2 weeks away.
2 weeks away, the 24th.
The 24th, which means next Sunday, of course, we're going to be doing our... WTR Pick'em, and we'll give you more information about that a little bit later on in the webcast here. But who do you figure is going to wind up in the Royal Rumble that hasn't been announced and might be a surprise?
Festus.
Oh, how about Scott Hall and the Blue Meanie?
The Boogeyman. The Boogeyman.
I'm going to put one out there. Undertaker comes back out at the Royal Rumble.
I kind of expect that at this point.
At this point, I don't see that as a surprise, if it happens.
So, legend from the past, you think will come back for this one? Last year, we had the Boogeyman. Last year, we had Diamond Dallas Page.
Jake the Snake Roberts.
He's been dying to do that. I don't know if they'll let him
do it. I don't know about Jake the Snake coming back for that.
I don't know if they'll clear him to get in the ring to do it. That's the thing.
Yeah, because even if you go easy, it's got to be someone who can... take a bump over the top rope.
Kendrick, Rhino.
I could see Rhino, Tommy Dreamer.
I don't expect Tommy Dreamer.
You never know.
The bunny
returns. No, because I think they just played the Tommy Dreamer card already, so it's like, oh yeah, Tommy, we just saw him.
Oh yeah.
Think of another UCW original then.
Rob Van Dam wouldn't.
He makes a thing out of coming back at Rumbles though. It's just not the. Not the biggest deal.
He's not gone long enough or too old.
Ezekiel Jackson.
No, well, isn't he in Lucha Underground?
Ahmed Johnson.
Can he walk? I'm just saying.
Still going down that sort of ECW, like they're playing the ECW cards, and what about Raven?
No. They just,
no, Raven's on the shit list. He has been for a while.
Yeah.
Okay, we have Bo Dallas and Bray Wyatt in the ring, and then Irwin R. Scheister comes out.
That would be good.
That would be good.
Won't happen, but that would be good.
I'd pop something shocking for that.
A lot of us would.
Ted DiBiase Jr. comes back out for one night only.
Oh, God. Wouldn't that be a waste of time?
Ooh. Totally.
Or
Stardust and Cody Rhodes come out as separate entries.
Hey, wasn't China ever
that
in the
show? That wasn't bad.
That's a good one.
Yeah, China's been in two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why? Omega's idea of having, like, the pseudo-Stardust and Cody Rhodes coming out.
Sort of plays off Mick Foley's three-faced left Foley that 1 year.
JTG's back for one night only.
Oh, yeah. That'll happen.
JBL comes out from the...
Didn't we do that last year?
Did that with all three.
They did that in 12? Yeah, 2012. Just watch that one. Yeah, they did that already.
Where is the Rumble this year?
Orlando, Florida.
Oh, God, they have an entire TNA roster that they could use.
No, apparently...
They have an entire NXT roster they could use.
They do. No, apparently the new Impact Zone is in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
I guess.
That's what they're calling that now.
You could probably get... The Hardys?
No, you can't.
They're with Impact.
They're in Impact Wrestling.
MVP.
He said no on Twitter.
I know who lives in Florida, brother. Well, just send him in there when the New Day's in the ring.
Tell me something about it, brother. When Curtis Axel's in the ring.
Can somebody locate Perry Saturn and bring him back?
No.
They find him every now and then.
They do.
Especially if he comes back with Moppy, that'd be awesome.
See, it's hard. Like, there's an era of guys you can go back to, but it's like...
Well, this is the thing. I'm going through the WWE alumni section, and I'm looking at them as like, no, too old, dead. Works for TNA, works for Ring of Honor.
Dead.
Could you get...
Dead.
Like, I mean,
Psycho Sid, dead.
No, wait. Nick, you were going to say something as we talked over you?
Well, like Tony Atlas.
I don't know if that would pop anyone, though.
Yeah.
Taz! It's Taz!
Because we need a whole Botchamania segment.
They can bring back Sabu.
No.
I don't think you have enough duct tape for him to wrestle a match in WWE.
He could have got Haku back. Like, I mean, he's not technically contracted here, so, I mean, you have Haku.
Let's bring back Vladimir Kozlov.
Like, there's a whole era of guys that from 10 years ago was like, oh, most of them are still here, or most of them are working elsewhere, or just left the wrestling business. It's like, you can't really go back to them. You go back to the early 2000s, most of them have retired, and you don't want them coming in to take bumps.
Can we put Yoshitatsu on commentary? No, wait. You
no. No.
Yes, that's...
No.
That's right, though.
I heard 20 minutes of that. It was special. It was
God,
special.
No.
It was special.
Yoshi, you've been in this move. What is it like when your arm's
out?
Being wrenched and you can't get out of it like that? Yes.
Kevin Kelly and Matt Stryker asked Yoshitatsu, what did he say? Yes, that's right.
Yoshi's commentary style is basically to share a thought and then give up about a third of the way through the thought.
I'm so glad I saw
yes,
this.
Important to get title back for...
We have a Rico suggestion in the chat room. We have J&J Security as a...
Oh, yeah, let's bring back Carlito while we're at it.
Yeah, Carlito.
Disco Inferno!
No.
Every Crash year out. I make that suggestion and nobody wants it.
Whoa.
Can't bring people back from the dead.
Oh, yeah, he's dead.
Which is so...
If we could do that, that'd be an awesome Royal Rumble.
It would be.
The Zombie Rumble.
Bring back Zombie Tim.
Yeah.
It'd be the one time you combine the Royal Rumble and a Buried Alive match.
Since they put out a bunch of the 2000, like the entire season of the 2000 era on the network, it's like, oh my god, Crash Holly and him trying to escape from every possible scenario. It's kind of amazing. I think they also
What's the Great Muta doing these days?
He's working Wrestle 1 and technically he's about to go back to All Japan. Because they fucked up things real bad. So, but there's a possible chance he could always come across to work WWE.
If that's one thing I noticed about, like, New Japan put on, their pre-show was a Rumble. In which pinfalls counted as well, which was just fucking weird. But they used that as, we have, like, half of it being young boys and the other half being the legends. You know, it's like Liger came out, Fujiwara came out, and it's like, wow, it's like Japan uses this to bring back all the old guys and give them a paycheck.
I mean, I mark the fuck out when Liger comes out, and if Liger came out in the Royal Rumble, this year's Royal Rumble, I'd mark the fuck out.
Two Rumbles in 1 year?
Two Rumbles in 1 year. By the way, anyone who listens to this as a podcast, you could tweet us your suggestions for who you think will be the mystery wrestler to appear in a Royal Rumble by tweeting us at Wild Talk Radio. Go ahead.
They could have a Tajiri come back and use that as a way of getting Nakamura out there.
But why are they going to bring in TNA retreads? Oh, wait.
They could bring in Jeff Jarrett with Jim Cornette as his manager. okay.
Yeah. What about the Canadian love duo, Edge and Christian?
Edge can bump.
Edge can bump.
Christian
Skull is made of glass.
But they'll be coming to the WWE Network very, very soon.
Hey, just so he can actually complain about it to the actual company, let's put Lance Storm in it.
I think he's fit. Right? He's fit.
He's still training, guys, and he's still complaining on Twitter. So I just figured, hey, let's just put him in the ring so he can actually, you know, complain in person.
With his dyed blonde rat tail.
Do we break out the mathematics set and go for Scott Steiner?
No.
But he has the 133% chance repeating to do it. Right.
What about Scott Hall? Scott Hall took a back bump at last year's WrestleMania.
Yeah, and I think he was lucky to take that.
They could get his son in, get Cody Hall to come across.
No, haven't they swiped enough?
He's working in New Japan.
Yeah.
Who else could you get? You could get Animal.
All right, we got a couple others. They have a falling out. David Arquette has a suggestion to the chat room. Here's no. one.
You All people right. are dicks.
All right, here's one. Stephen Amell.
Okay. Yeah. I can actually see that.
That could work.
So are we actually giving Kane Kiddens props or something?
Like Kane Kiddens suggested that.
I hate that idea.
He also said Ronda Rousey. I won't be Ronda.
No. I don't know if they could collect her brains off the octagon floor.
They did. They scooped them up and put them back into her head along with her teeth and half of her lip as they smuggled her out of Melbourne.
And she'll be on Saturday Night Live the night before the Royal Rumble, just so people are aware. So I think we've beaten this subject to death at this point.
Yeah, I can't wait for us to all be wrong.
I don't know, there's still a few.
There's still, like, who's coming up from NXT?
Save that for next week, Mace.
Yeah.
We'll actually preview the Royal Rumble and actually give it some more thought.
Fine.
I know. We're going to take a break. Come back. Maybe the Canadian will return. Who knows? It is WTR, Sunday night. Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Remember, follow this show on Twitter and Facebook at WTR Sunday Night. We'll be right back after this.
This time, I wonder what it feels like. I'm the one in this life. The one we all dream of, but dreams just aren't enough, so I'll be waiting for the real thing. I'm knowing by
calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Thursday nights, The Rack lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin, as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz. This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
This is Kane from WWE.
The future is now when you experience The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com, and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge. You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
To WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. So we were going through the whole Royal Rumble thing before, and, you know, we never brought up the Job Squad, do we?
Nope.
Well, it's a good thing we didn't, because that's our topic now. There's a new Job Squad that some people are calling it, or some people call it the hashtag Social Outcast Omega.
Oh my god.
We have Heath Slater leading this faction of...
Oh, wait, do you hear the force of dominance they gathered for this one?
Heath Slater leading Adam Rose, Curtis Axel, and Bo Dallas.
I just wet myself a little bit.
And Clip. No.
So yeah, we have no idea. We have no ideas for you, the faction.
Does this mean that Heath Slater can no longer call himself the one man band?
That's the thing. Like the first time when he came out for that match, that's the first time I noticed that his theme song changed from, changed to actually say, "I'm just one man."
Yeah,
then he came out with three guys behind him.
Yeah, he's changed the intro for about a year or so already.
Well, he needs to actually show up on TV for me to actually notice that they changed it.
Very good point. So there's this group of four individuals who haven't really done much lately.
Lately?
Trying to be nice, trying to be nice. I haven't seen Adam Rose in a while. I know I've seen Bo. Bo's been entertaining in the little skits he's done. So, I don't know what's worse. There's a group of these four together, or Dolph Ziggler's the one who lost to Heath Slater on Monday Night Raw.
I know! Like,
he looked like such...
It took four guys, granted.
It did, but he looked like an idiot going after them all.
You know, it's like fighting a pack of rats. You know, one rat, not so bad, but you got a whole swarm of them now. It gets a little hard to keep up.
It does. And you just sit there and look at this group, and it's like, it could be good. They could do something. Will they?
Could be.
Probably not.
I kind of got a kick out of them arguing over who got a turn at the microphone.
It's like, ooh, we get to talk on the microphone. Oh my god.
We're here. My turn. My shtick now. My shtick.
I gotta get in all my lines.
Which, that is kind of a funny part to me, the fact that they are factioned together, but they all still have their own individual gimmicks.
Right.
Like, there's amusing places they could go with this.
There is. They could do something with this faction.
Hmm. Now, the bad thing is, when I see this faction that they've put together, my thoughts immediately go to, wow, Fandango wasn't good enough for you guys, or?
I think he's a babyface.
Does it matter?
These are all heels.
Does it matter?
I'm just going by probably what the thought process. Maybe this group will grow. Maybe it's more. Every week, it's like the NWO. Every week we get a new member. Next week, Fandango. The week after that, Damian Sandow.
Say all the others who haven't won or shown up on TV lately.
3 weeks later, the Matadors get in the group. But they'll be named Epico and Primo. I mean, there's possibilities because some of them can actually talk.
They can. Like, the thing is, like, WWE is not stupid. I mean, they go after really good talent, but they have a writing staff of absolute drooling apes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So sometimes you just, you know, sometimes it is as simple as, well, we don't have an idea for you. Well, then you're an uncreative idiot.
Yeah. Well. But I could see them, there's a reason they're building foursomes. And it could be tying
after
back
after Survivor Series.
After Survivor Series. They're gearing up for 2016. Early. No, but think about why it's a foursome now. You have these four guys. The Bullet Club is what, going to be a foursome at some point?
Part of me really is worried that it's going to be akin to the Diva Revolution thing where, well, we don't have an idea for four guys, but if we treat them like one character as a faction, then yeah, we can figure out something. Which I'm fine with giving guys on the roster something to do. At least they're not just squandered. At least they have something to go with.
Right. And they're going back to a formula back in 97 where they, when they had all the factions.
Yeah, that's one of the things I was saying is that WWE started to feel very much like the gang war period.
I'm just trying to figure, are they the Disciples of Apocalypse? Are they the Los Boricuas? Trying to figure out where they're compared to in this.
Right now, they're definitely the Los Boricuas.
Okay.
Wait, not Latino World Order? No?
No,
they weren't there.
They weren't there.
They weren't there. They had the one, they almost wanted to faction, the family with the Roman, the Usos, and Dean Ambrose, too.
But then
I think they pulled the plug on that one.
Cause I think Wade Barrett got hurt. They were going to do the League of Nations and the family, sort of. And, well, once Wade Barrett got hurt, that kind of fell through it. So going back, that makes Heath Slater Savio Vega. Okay.
I'm not sure if that's a compliment to him or not.
Could have called him Quang, but I'll call him Savio Vega. Yeah. So it's something different. We'll give it a, at least I'm going to give it a chance. Omega, I think you're going to give it a chance as well.
You know, I might call an idea really stupid or moronic or whatever, but you know what? If I've learned anything from the New Day, give any gimmick at least, a fair chance to actually show me if they can do something with it. Because sometimes it is just about the guys who get it and how they can actually work with it.
This is very, very true. We talk a lot of NXT sometimes on this show. We're talking on the Rack Thursdays, 10 p.m. Eastern. And one guy who just recently returned to TNA had a stint in NXT. And that's one James Storm. Did he make the right move, you think, guys, to go back to TNA wrestling?
I don't think he was ever wanting to go to WWE.
I think it was just testing the waters. It wasn't really like he was there to be like, oh yeah, I'm here now and let's see how far I can go. And it's sort of like, well, this is the NXT they keep talking about. Now I'm going to run back to TNA and tell them all about it.
I don't even think it was that. I think he got a contract offer at the end of his deal, didn't like it, and decided to go get a few rounds with NXT just so TNA would up the offer.
Which they doubled the offer and guaranteed it, which is TNA's guaranteeing contract. That's scary. A little bit. The best part about his return, he showed up on Impact on the quote-unquote live airing on Tuesday night. And he goes back, I was at home watching the Impact. They called me like, you know, the worst of the year or something. And he talks about leaving TNA 5 or 6 months ago. I'm sitting here going, but you were on TV, storyline standpoint, in November. oops. It's like, oh, and consistency. Yeah.
The Cowboy's been hitting the bottles pretty hard since losing his TNA job.
And we're reverting back to beer money. I think that's a good step for him, though. He was trying to be a Bray Wyatt clone, and now he's back with Bobby Roode as beer money. I think that's a good step.
Is it?
Beer money!
Good team, but, I mean, James Storm's been a tag team guy his entire career.
Yeah, but there's the whole thing about it. Like, I watch... This is going to be scary. I actually watched Impact. And,
Get out.
The one thing... I know, blasphemy. He actually said that he just wanted to have fun. And beer money is when he was having fun. So... You know, you gotta do what you love, and supposedly the contract that he signed is for like, twice as much money as he would have got with NXT, so.
Yeah. So am I the only one waiting for the 3-disc set of, James Storm? Like they did for Brandon
Walker? No. We put them together, and we have the best of America's Most Wanted WWE edition.
That's where I was headed.
America's Most Unwanted.
Yeah, because when he signed with TNA, returned with TNA, I was like, yep, that's the first thought went through my head. I know Omega didn't say it, so I'm going to ask Mace, what do you think of the miracle, Mike Bennett?
It was good to see Maria back on TV. I'm sorry, I don't know much about Mike Bennett, and to be honest, him coming out and cutting a promo wasn't exactly the greatest start.
He called himself Jesus. I thought he was...
Good start.
He was... sort of doing a Jericho-esque promo, saving things and stuff like that. And he looked like Armando Estrada in his suit.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
That's about it. Like, you can't really say much about him if he hasn't actually had a match yet, so.
Miracle.
The miracle. Mace, you've been watching a lot of wrestling. Including...
Yeah, too bloody much at the moment.
Including SmackDown. Which had a new voice, Mauro Ranallo. What do you think, guys?
I didn't get to hear it.
Shame on you.
My Thursday was busy, okay?
I'm live
streaming when SmackDown's on.
I watched it, and I mean, I have to say it's better than JBL Cole and Booker T. Like, it's nice to hear a refreshing voice to actually be Cole.
You could put, the commentary team could be a blender and a washing machine and be better than Cole's. JBL.
For those, go ahead. Yes.
The thing about Ranallo, dude was just he walked in the door, sat down at the commentary desk, and said, "I'm going to do play by play." And King's like, "I'm going to make jokes," and he just sort of looked at him and went, "No, fuck you. I'm going to call the match. You do whatever the fuck you want. I'm just not going to care." Oh, look, he's done this move in the ring. He's doing this. He's putting on this. It's like all of a sudden it was like listening to JR all over again. It was just ignoring all the story bullshit and just calling the matches in the ring.
He called the matches in the ring. He still got in the WWE shills for the network and everything like that. I thought he...
Saxton was the guy that you go to for the facts and information. And the two of them working together was great. Now it just makes King and his fucking lame jokes so offside to everything... that I reckon it's time we shovel the old bastard off to the pasture so he can go and chase 19-year-olds.
I'll put him back on Raw.
No, you get rid of him completely. You take him off TV.
I'd rather have him on Raw.
King's era of bad jokes is done.
And for those Booker T fans out there missing him on Thursday Night SmackDown, you can catch him on the Raw pre-show on the WWE Network. That's where he's been demoted to.
Wait, Raw has a pre-show now?
It's always had a pre-show for the last 2 years now.
It's been network exclusive, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Just in case 3 hours was enough Raw for you.
So, yeah, so they have a pre-show. The post-show on the Wild Talk Radio Network is so much better than the pre-show. But, anyway, I thought he did a good job on SmackDown, and I'm excited to continue to hear him call matches and make SmackDown sound more important than it has been in the past.
He gave it a lot of professionalism, which is what all commentary teams have been fucking missing for a long time. I wouldn't be surprised if it's not too long before they start putting him on the pay-per-view squad.
So you guys are talking about Mauro Ranallo and his SmackDown debut?
Yes, we are, Tim.
And, yeah, I just got back. That was, sorry about my absence. That was a very important thing. It had to do with my kid being in the hospital and stuff.
Okay. Uplifting as ever.
Well, no, it's good news. It's great news. So, that's all good. But, yeah, no, it's just, listening to Mauro Ranallo. What did I tell you earlier, Rock? I couldn't help but wait for Bad News Allen to interject and call him an idiot and a sharecropper.
Yes, that is what you said.
Yeah, I was half expecting that because more.
Welcome to a reference that only Tim Stein's going to get.
Well, no, other people.
Thank you, JBL.
Other people over the age of 25, and there are a bunch who are listening who know who Bad News Allen was. Anyway, Mauro Ranallo was the voice of Stampede Wrestling here in Calgary in the late 90s, early 2000s, and of course his color guy was Bad News Allen, Bad News Brown, and WWF at the time. And I just kept expecting to hear Bad News Allen every time I heard Mauro Ranallo just because of the, you know, my memories of it. But, so you figure that he brought excitement to SmackDown?
He brought importance.
Professionalism. Importance. Actual calling of the goddamn moves.
Okay.
Omega brought up JBL a moment ago. Do we want to see him interview Vince Russo?
I actually
want to see
that
him interview for a job at Costco.
Yeah, no, I would be interested in watching JBL sit down and have a face to face with Vince Russo. JBL is not exactly Russo's biggest fan. Russo has proven to be a liar by a lot of people. JR. Among the names who have called him out on shit. But I would love to see this interview just to see if JBL actually calls him out on shit that he's trashed him over the years.
Nah.
You're not really sure?
I don't really care. Like,
one or the other.
I really don't want to hear anything from Vince Russo at this point.
I'd rather just hear Vince Russo talk with anybody else but JBL. Like, JBL just needs to go away.
You remember when JBL came back and we were all so happy?
Oh, how short it was.
Yeah, that was 6 months of Pot of Neckbone references.
Yeah, speaking about references, if you think I give dated references, listen to JBL.
Yeah. JBL, 5 references of Doom.
Alright, so we cover that. I guess now, Tim, it's time for the all-time greatest?
Yeah, why not?
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoopsie freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
It is the continuation of trying to find out the all-time greatest WrestleMania moment. Tonight, we have Stone Cold Steve Austin passing out to the sharpshooter at WrestleMania 13, going up against the Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit celebration at WrestleMania 20. Omega.
Shit. Jeez. Okay, so you have one of Austin's greatest and strongest moments. One of the things that kind of cemented him as a badass in the ring versus one of the most, aftermath aside, one of the most emotional moments, not only because you knew what both of these guys had been through and how long they had been around, how good friends they were, but it was almost as if you could feel some kind of change happening in the WWE where this was okay now. We've got two former WCW guys holding the two top belts. They are new to the championships. They are fresh blood. We are actually running with someone different for a change. And that felt amazing at the time. Aside on just how emotional that was.
Because it was two friends accomplishing a goal they set out to accomplish.
It was great for wrestling fans because we always wanted them to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but those were both guys where you got very pessimistic about WWE actually being willing to give them the ball. And now all of a sudden we're here at the end of WrestleMania and they're both holding those belts. I mean, they're both really strong moments, but like I have to take lasting impact into it, you know, and for lasting impact, they're both great moments. They both stand out so much. I feel like that was one of the stronger moments for them. And then it kind of goes downhill. Whereas Austin's moment, it only went up from there and it cemented the rest of his career. I am barely giving the edge to Austin on this one.
Mace.
Both very powerful WrestleMania moments in sort of their own unique way. Again, aftermath aside, it's really hard to sort of pull these two particular moments apart. But I can't help it. Not only is the Benoit Guerrero moment one that I can still shed a tear for to this day, but that match that preceded it, I can still remember sitting on the edge of my seat, screaming at the top of my lungs as Benoit has Triple H in the crossface going, "Tap, you fucking prick! Tap, you fucking mongrel!" Just going off my head at this moment. And then to see afterwards, you know, Eddie comes in and they embrace. To be honest, if what had happened with Benoit never happened, we would still be seeing that in every single WrestleMania highlight package to this day. It is just one of those grand moments. As much as I love seeing, you know, Austin being there covered in his own blood, you know, trying so hard not to tap and then passing out. Yeah, it's a great moment in his career, but Austin's had so many more since. So I'll give this one to Benoit Guerrero.
Nick.
I have to give it to Benoit Guerrero. I have to agree with Mace, is that, like, to this day, like, you can go on heaps of the IWC sites and stuff like that, and you don't see the photo of Austin in the sharpshooter. You see the photo of Eddie holding up Chris's hand, and then both got the titles at the end of WrestleMania 20. Like aftermath aside, as said before, is like these are guys who have worked together for nearly, at this stage, by the time WrestleMania 20 came along, these guys have been working together for nearly 20 years beside each other, all the way from like their time in New Japan together to through WCW and ECW all the way to WWE, and to see they reach the top of the mountain. Like Bret Hart, like after this match, like was a heel, and that he was a great heel, and then he went crazy and ran off to WCW, and with Austin he just kept going up, but it's not the image that you really see anymore. You don't see that Austin passing out in the sharpshooter like that you still see and people still comment about. It's Eddie and Chris, so I have to give it to Eddie and Chris.
Canadian Tim Stein.
Oh, Eddie and Chris, huge deal. It was. It was a feel-good moment, is what it was. The entire thing was an absolute, total feel-good moment. And, you know, Mace is like, come on, tap your prick. He's just so emotionally invested in that. For me, it's a dead heat and flipping the coin. I'm giving it, like Omega says, just barely, edging it out. I'm giving it to Austin. Passing out, not tapping out. You know, that was basically one of the very few, things that actually made the character Stone Cold Steve Austin. Proving that he's a badass sumbitch, not taking any bullshit from nobody. Not tapping out. And passing out instead, you know, covered in blood, the whole thing. And looking at it, the impact, the ramifications, what we wound up with down the road after that because of it. That's why it gets edged out by me. Now that winds up giving us a tie.
I was gonna go to the chat room and they're split. I'm going Austin, passing out. It was the launching point for Stone Cold Steve Austin. It made him, it put him on the map. Yes, WrestleMania 14 where he beat Shawn Michaels was a big moment. But this one cemented him as a badass, and it also launched Bret Hart. And it was the double turn, which you don't see often when you have in this type of situation. And that's why I have Austin advancing. Not to say Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit wasn't a great moment. To me, I remember Austin passing out more than I do the celebration.
Are you not impressed that I didn't point out Benoit being Canadian and I didn't even bring up Bret Hart?
So Steve Austin.
Till you spoiled it by doing exactly
by
that.
By doing just
moron.
That.
Moron.
evil bastard.
So Steve Austin passing out moves on. So it's Seth Rollins cashing in at WrestleMania 31 against The Undertaker retiring the Heartbreak Kid Mace.
Oh, this one's easy for me. Seth Rollins cashing in. I'm sorry, you know, Undertaker retiring Shawn Michaels at 26. Yeah, it cemented a feud that was absolutely brilliant and long-term. But, you know, it was the second time we've seen him in 2 years. And we had already seen Shawn Michaels in an emotional retirement moment, you know, 2 years earlier when Shawn retired Flair. This one didn't hold as much because then, you know, Shawn Michaels got involved in the Triple H Undertaker 2 back to back, you know. It just didn't hold any real impact. Seth Rollins cashing in though just made all of us sitting here going, what the fuck? No, he's not gonna. He's done it. Okay, we now have a triple threat match. This is, anybody got a precedent for this? You know, we were checking everything we could to see if this was something that could be done, and then Seth wins it. Out of fucking nowhere, it's like, okay, holy shit. Not only did that stop what could have been the burial of Roman Reigns, whether he won or lost, but it set up Seth Rollins as the new major heel of that company. So yeah, Seth Rollins cashing in.
Omega.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with that one. Like, yeah, it was something, okay, in the age where it's all been done, that hadn't been done to my knowledge. You know, clever use of the money of the bank being, you know, used to turn that into a triple threat at the spur of the moment. Much less it's the WrestleMania main event. You have the audacity to butt yourself into it. And one of the few times I credit WWE with having enough foresight to know Reigns was not ready and Reigns was not going to go over with the crowd if you put a belt on him here. They had an escape button to hit. They hit it and it was probably the smartest booking decision they could have made that entire night. And yeah, it made what was, it ended up being a good match, but we weren't looking forward to it. On paper, we did not want to see this. You know, it gave that so much more life than, you know, we expected it to have, you know, cause something like that just wasn't done.
Nick.
Unfortunately, like the other guys, I have a soft spot for that takeout versus Michaels match. I mean, for years that we'd been watching Michaels on WrestleMania, I mean, obviously with his back injury, he missed a bunch, but then there was, like, for years and years and years prior to 97, 98, where he went with his back injury, like, he was on our TVs all the time. He was the only reason why WWE during the early 90s was anything interesting was because Michaels was making it interesting. Then he came back and he was incredible. He was just match after match. He had incredible matches. That the final send off for him at WrestleMania against the Undertaker, like saying goodbye to Shawn Michaels as a main eventer, as a superstar on in the WWE, I mean, you can still feel the impact now. Like, look at Dolph Ziggler. Even Shawn Michaels came out on the Stone Cold podcast and says, like, Dolph Ziggler's too much like Shawn Michaels. Like, that's the impact that it had. Like, the WrestleMania 31 moment with Rollins cashing in, sure, it was unique, and sure, like, it was something of a what-the-fuck moment of having him come out, make it a triple threat, and then winning the title. Like, that was a big what-the-fuck moment. But the gap is still, like, to me, the gap of Shawn Michaels not being there hasn't been filled. And, like, as many people say, well, Seth Rollins filled it. Well, no, he didn't. He's been off TV for the last few months, like, he hasn't filled it at all. Like, that presence of having no Shawn Michaels or no big main event or another, the next Mr. WrestleMania, the next showstopper is not there. So having Shawn Michaels being sent off at WrestleMania 26 against The Undertaker is my choice.
So, this is where I would go to someone else, but no, I want to chime in, and I'm agreeing with Nick. Shawn Michaels was my favorite wrestler.
You're not allowed to chime in until afterwards.
I am allowed to chime in on this one. Shawn Michaels was my favorite wrestler growing up. And to see him go out the way he did, it was awesome, yet sad. I will always remember this moment. This is why it was one of the all-time greatest ever. This is why I'm picking this, and I'm tying this up.
Bullshit. You did it just so you could tie it up, fucking trolling
asshole. No, I didn't. No, I really didn't, because here's the thing. I was going to chime in if Nick started picking the other one just to give Shawn Michaels Undertaker some love, but he went there and did it for me. So I'm tying it up. Tim, you're up.
Well, let me think. I think that maybe, quite possibly.
He's stalling.
It has to go to Shawn Michaels' retirement match.
Explain? Yeah, a little bit of reasoning.
As great as twist and everything, Seth Rollins cashing in the Money in the Bank to make it a triple threat. Did it ever happen before? No. But Shawn Michaels, Mr. WrestleMania, an icon, his last match. This is sending him to the shelf. It's a hero's send-off. And Shawn did it traditionally. He went out on his back. Yeah. It's a bigger deal.
So there you go. Steve Austin passes out, and The Undertaker retires. Shawn Michaels, move on. Next week, we have Icon versus Icon. Hulk Hogan versus The Rock. Taking on Icon versus Icon. Pete Rose versus Kane. The trilogy.
Oh, God.
And Brock Lesnar conquers The Undertaker streak. Taking on Edge, Christian, and Hardy's goatee. Edge, Christian, Hardy's, and Dudley's goatee. L.C. That's next week on the All-Time Greatest.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits. Wow. That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them. Wow. Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
We'll start with you, Tim.
No, yay.
Would you rather be the common cold or the flu?
The flu.
Why?
Because the flu is just a bigger prick.
And you are a big prick.
A bigger prick.
Okay. Mace, would you rather be the paper or the pen?
I'm going to be the pen. Because
Why?
The pen is mightier than the sword.
Aha.
See, I didn't have that kind
of
choice
for the
flu over the cold. That's just not fair.
Nick, if you were a computer part, what computer part would you be?
delete, 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 delete.
The hard disk.
Why?
Because I got all the knowledge, bruh.
Wow. Okay, that was bad.
Delete, 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 delete.
Omega, would you rather be the ketchup or the mustard?
The ketchup.
Why?
Because she's always lagging behind.
Clearly you do not understand my love of ketchup and my hatred of mustard. When my family first moved down to Florida, when I was still a little kid, my mom's assurance was that as soon as I got in the door, the refrigerator would have 3 brand new bottles of ketchup waiting for me.
There you go. Tim, would you rather be the chicken or the beef?
I'm surprised you didn't say the chicken or the egg.
Who would want to be the egg?
Apparently Tim.
No, I never said that. Jerk.
Prick.
Bigger prick. The chicken or the beef?
Yes.
Oy vey.
Never said kosher beef. Just beef.
Never said kosher chicken. I've eaten so much chicken in the last month, it's not funny. I miss a good steak. Fine, I'll be the beef.
There you go. Mace, would you rather be milk or butter?
I'm thinking. I'd be the milk.
Why?
Because as the milk, I could become the butter.
Ooh, deep thoughts.
Good point, good point. Nick, if you were a sex toy, what type of sex toy would you be and why?
You can tell who he had questions prepped for and which one. He's just pulling the old favorites out of the hat.
It's called I Had Yours Prepped and then, oh, Nick's on the show. Yep, alright. Come on, questions.
Just because I live in Japan, there's like 1,000 extra ones that you guys probably never heard of. I don't know. I'd be a rabbit.
And the reasoning is?
Pleasure of the ladies.
Okay, and Omega, what social media platform best represents your personality?
Twitter.
Why?
It's quick, it's random, and my thoughts can only come 140 characters at a time.
Well played. Well played.
10,000 character Twitter coming soon.
Fuck that. I need people telling me their life story in one tweet.
Well, no, it's turning into Facebook Lite.
Well, Facebook's turning into Twitter Lite.
Anyway, that'll do it for WTR Sunday Night and Quick Hits.
Yeah, all right. Hey, everybody, next Sunday night, it's going to be another edition of WTR Pick'em. Are we going to offer up a prize to the winner? Well, I'll tune in to find out. That's all I'm going to tell you. And, of course, we'll give you the complete lowdown on how you can get involved with WTR Pick'em if you've never done it before.
And we're going to do the Royal Rumble drawing as well.
We'll do that too.
Like we did last year. So we'll send out a thing. Put your name in the hat. We'll give you a number in the Rumble, and you'll be a part of all the fun and craziness of the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, there you go. And then you cheer for that number until you win or get booted out. Or you're, you know, Anyway, yeah, whatever.
You could,
tomorrow night immediately following Raw.
You can get Roman Reigns or you can get Heath Slater.
Or Brock Lesnar or Mark Henry. Yeah.
Or Bo Dallas.
Tomorrow night, immediately following Raw, it's the Raw Post Show.
Speaking of Brock Lesnar, what will he do on Monday Night Raw? Well,
enter the Royal Rumble.
He'll do something, and we'll tell you all about it on the Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern.
There you go. Absolutely, yeah. Thursday night, once again, the multi-time, multi-award winning The Rack with your hostess, Lindsay Ward.
We're going to talk NXT, all the wrestling news you can possibly handle. It's The Rack, Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, live on rackradioshow.com, wildtalkradio.com, gerwick.net. Go back and listen to last week's episode where we talked the AJ Styles Bullet Club rumors, John Cena's injury, and so much more. It's The Rack, Thursdays, 10 p.m.
There you go, yeah.
I'm not done.
Oh, I'm sorry. Why don't you talk about, you know, The Rack Radio Show and follow The Rack Radio Show on Twitter and shit?
I was just getting to that.
Oh, be my guest.
First, Thursdays, 10 p.m. Eastern. You can follow the show on Twitter, Facebook, SoundCloud, and YouTube, Rack Radio Show. You can check out the website, rackradioshow.com. You can follow Lindsay on Twitter, at Lindsay Ward. Now you can continue, Tim.
Now can I go? Okay, Saturday night. The big question, is Subway gay or is he just weird? You want to find out? Tune in to CB Radio midnight-ish or as close as they can get to it, where they'll give you a phrase of the week, apparently, every week.
Hashtag blame Rob when the celebrity dies. CB Radio Live on Facebook and Twitter and CBRadioLive.com.
There you go, yeah. And, of course, 10 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Mountain Time, another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Follow Wild Talk Radio on the Twitters at Wild Talk Radio. Check out Wild Talk Radio's Facebook, brand new page.
No.
Go ahead.
You're wrong.
Go ahead.
You're wrong.
No? What?
You're permanently wrong. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. It's the Wrestle Talk Radio new Facebook page at facebook.com/WTR Sunday Night.
Oh!
Yeah.
Okay.
Now you get it. And twitter.com/WTR Sunday Night. Got it now?
Yeah, if you say so.
There you go. You can follow Tim on Twitter at Flames Forums with an S at the end, because sometimes he just says Flames Forum and people go, what? It's Forums with an S.
Yes. Or follow at Man Kitchen TV.
Hey, look at that. Nick Diddy just liked Wrestle Talk Radio. You can too.
Good boy, Nick Diddy. Yeah. Also, check out my other page. It's a Facebook page. Go just type in facebook.com/menchefs. It's the Man Kitchen. Man Kitchen. Okay? There you go. And, you know, like join up. It's set up like a personal Facebook account, so you can friend me and I'll friend you back.
Be Tim's friend.
Please be my friend. Mace is on Twitter.
Yes, you can follow me on the Twitter machines over at TheMacing. You can also find all my YouTube-related works over at youtube.com/WTRGamesGarage, along with all my gaming nonsense and news and whatnot over at TheOuterHaven.net.
Omega, what's up?
Well, as usual, I'm pretty much all over the internet these days. If you want to follow over on Facebook, it is TJ Reviews. If you want to follow over on Twitter, it is TJ Omega. TJ Omega is also the name of the website, tjomega.org, for exclusive videos. And the majority of my work, including content every single weekday, is over at YouTube, also at TJ Omega.
Got a question for you, Omega.
Uh-huh.
Is the new lighting working out for you?
It's hot as fuck. But, man, it's a lot easier to work with.
Hey, I wonder how you found out how hot it was.
It's called 20 minutes of shooting.
And then grabbing a hold of the lights.
No. Not physically hot. Like, those things are made to shine light and dump heat into a room.
In about 6 months from now, Omega will be 90 pounds.
It's a good dieting plan.
like you really need any more heat in Florida.
He's creating his own heat now. It's scary. He's going to destroy us all. He's going to destroy us all at some point.
You know, as
hopefully.
Long as... You know, okay, there you go. As long as Nick is with us, Nick, did you want to get people to follow you on the Twitter machines or Facebook or whatever?
I just wanted to say thanks, guys, for letting me on the show today. For people at home, feel free to message me on Facebook in the Wild Talk groups, so feel free to drop me a line. Small plug for the YouTube Padworld. If you guys are curious at all about these four dudes coming into WWE and they're like, who the fuck are these guys? Go out and check out New Japan World. They've got all these matches on there. Go out, check some of their matches out.
Remember, as always, you can get us on TuneIn Radio, just search Wild Talk Radio Network. You can subscribe on iTunes, search Wild Talk Radio Network. Same for Stitcher, Wild Talk Radio Network. Get us on the podcast or just listen live. Either way, all WTR all the time.
There you go. That being said, have yourselves a great week, everybody. Catch you next Sunday.